Amazing, it gets easier every time I come up here. Just be getting used to it, huh? Oh, thank you. Yes, let's get rid of that before it crashes. That's a beautiful cane. If you haven't heard the story behind it, I use a cane in the prison that the administration gave me. Now you would think that would be a weapon, wouldn't you? And I wish I didn't have to use it, but I did. But I guess they took pity on me because, like, the second year that I was there, I've been there 6 years now, in my seventh year, and a couple of years after I started. I may have told this story. I'm old and I do repeat myself, so if you've heard it, just ignore it, and I'll wake you up. And but I went to my office after about having been there a couple of years, and I had a metal cane. I think that was probably the no-no. But on my desk was a beautiful hand-carved bamboo cane. Now, it's very light. I do not use this one in the prison because this one is very heavy. This one's made of black walnut, hand-carved by a member in our church. And but I had this bamboo, I had this thing on my desk. And if you can just visualize, and I'll use this as an illustration, this was wrapped up in Christmas package with a big bow on it, laying on my desk like this. Well, if you wrap that cane up, just wrap it up so nobody can tell what's in it, the wrapping paper went from the end down around here and up over here. Now use your imagination. Wrapped up, had no idea what it was. I'll tell you later what my thoughts were. Anybody want to guess? A rifle. And I'd only been there 2 years. And there's a big sign on the door out there, no guns beyond this point. Why would they give me a rifle? Well, they unwrapped it, and it was a beautiful bamboo cane. And the reason I use that one in the prison and not this one is because it's light. Bamboo is very light, but it's a beautiful cane. And I have to use it. I try not to. It was a long time that I couldn't. Pride got in my way. And I had to decide, is it safe? I've fallen a few times in the prison without it. And it was kind of like a wake-up call. You know, just use your cane. So again, I've heard that same thought. Canes are weapons. Well, praise God. Never had any trouble in 77 years. And I'm not going to knock on wood because I'm not so superstitious, all right? But I thank God for the opportunity to continue to allow me to serve. I was talking to Brother Rob earlier. Our job is to just sow the seed. That's all it says. Go ye therefore and sow that seed. Bible says God in his word tells us that some sow, some water, but God gives the increase. Because anybody that got saved and has been over 100 since I've been there in 6 years and professed Christ personally in my presence, God saved them. I just sow the seed. I sow it to everybody that's in there. And you know, there's quite a different vast variety of faiths and religions, if you want to call them. I don't think Christianity is a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And I present him as a relationship, as a relationship should be. And I've seen some drastic changes, wonderful drastic changes in the Word of God. I appreciate the opportunity to come to Village Chapel Baptist Church. I pray for you daily, my wife and I, and we ask that God would lead the man to this church that you would have. Thankful for the leadership here and for the passion you have for getting out the Word of God. I pray that God will provide and you will know when that time comes who it is for you to have here as your pastor. But meanwhile, I count it a joy and just have let Brother Rob know many, many times that I'm always available. And I was just here a couple of weeks ago. And I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Just before the message, I have been doing a lot of thought since October 13th, 2023, and just sort of reflecting as to the ministry that God has blessed me with, the opportunity for all these years, saved in September 1961, wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to know God, get to know Him, and I knew a lot about Him. But since that date, I've gotten to know Him in a wonderful personal way. And I'll tell you, He's never disappointed me. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you don't have Him in your heart, please consider Him. He is the answer. And the thought has come to me in the last few months since my 80th birthday. And I want to speak to you on this morning. And that is, we've heard the saying, you know, we have no idea. We know that it's appointed unto man, according to the scriptures, to die. Once to die, and after that, the judgment, the Bible tells us. We know that every day people go out into an eternity. They're either lost or they're saved. There's no in between. And I got to reminiscing and thinking in my own life, and I've not talked to anybody about this, probably including my wife much, although we share quite a lot together in our time. But God has impressed upon me that our life is but for the moment. But for the moment. We're proud parents of four children, three sons and a daughter. And we're empty nested now. But during the upbringing of our children, life just seemed to get in the way of some things. And I had to work as a bivocational pastor. I know what it's like to work 8 hours to go home and build my own home at night. And then I'm talking about physical structure and take care of my family. And I haven't done a great job about it. And I look back at that job. And I got to thinking, you know, it's day by day. Day by day. We're not promised. I've heard this preached before, and I've probably preached it many times from the pulpit myself. And we're not even guaranteed one more breath. Not one. But you know, young, when we were young, married, newlyweds, raising a family, boy, we always were looking at the future. Looking at the future. Their schooling. Their health care. Our responsibility as parents. And there was nothing wrong with all of that. But I got to admit to you this morning that the thought occurred to me not too many weeks ago. It's not about the future. It's about today. And so I'm going to speak this morning on that subject. We'll go to the scriptures in a moment. But before we do, I appreciate this young lady. I heard she majored in education. I would have thought, no. She must have trained in music at Maranatha. How did you learn to play like that? Praise God. Praise God. That's wonderful. To have that ability. So I've asked her to play for me a song that's dear to my heart, has been for a number of years, but I'll tell you, it's been only in the last maybe month and a half that I really started thinking seriously about this, the words of this song. You think about them as I sing, day by day. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Now, I'm only going to sing the next stanza for time's sake, but I want you to listen to this, please. I want you today to leave here thinking about today in your life. And I'll share my message in a moment in a couple of passages of scripture. But listen again for the words. Verse 3, please, okay? Verse 3. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take us from a Father's hand. One by one, thy days of strength shall measure this the promise to me he made. Folks, there are over 4,000 promises in the Word of God. Over 4,000 of the promises. I want to speak to you this morning on the very heart, my heart, of how to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Take your Bibles and turn, please, to the book of Psalms. First of all, just a couple of verses. The first one is in Psalms, chapter 90. And I know these are familiar verses. I know this is a familiar, maybe, theme to you. But I'm burdened this morning, as a preacher of the word, to share how to make, or making the rest of your life, the best of your life. I want you just to kind of reflect back on your life. Now, please follow along in the scriptures with me and the thoughts I want to share, but I want you to spend the rest of this day thinking maybe about where you came from. If you're here today and you know Christ, you can go back and reflect into your past if you wish to. You don't have to share that with anybody but God. And I do. I reminisce a lot. You've heard me say that from this pulpit. But the psalmist here had a thought to lead into our message this morning, and that thought is Psalm chapter 90, and notice verse 12. The psalmist says at the pen of the Holy Spirit, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now turn over to a very familiar passage of scripture in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And for time's sake, I'm just going to pick out a verse. I will refer to some other passages here in Matthew 6 in my message, but please follow along. And the verse I chose to focus on this morning and to speak as God gives me the words to speak is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus, his own words himself. Jesus says here, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's an old saying out there, maybe some of you are too young to ever have heard it, but there's an old saying out there that you're never too old to learn. Never too old. Remember that, sister. By the way, thank you for playing. You're never too old to learn. And here's one lesson. First of all, from Psalms again, 90, verse 12, that you're never too old to learn. He says, so to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I believe the teaching of that verse is this: to teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are in light of eternity. How few our days are. Take your birth date, multiply the days. Oh, they're so few in light of eternity. And he says to recognize how few they are and to help us to spend them as we should. Wow, that's a powerful thought. Not just to spend them, not to spend them any way we want to, but he makes it very clear and plain here, folks, that we are to spend them as we should. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. Someone has observed that life is like a dollar bill. We can all relate to a dollar bill. That's about as high as I can count, money-wise. A dollar bill, you can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it once. All right? Once that dollar bill leaves, you've spent that dollar bill. Now, when you spend money, there's really only one or two ways that you can spend it. You can either spend it by wasting it, or you can spend it to invest it. That's the only two choices you've got. Think about that. Whether you're young this morning, or you're old, or you're 60, 80, maybe healthy, maybe wealthy, puny or poor, you can make the rest of your life, starting right now, the best of your life. I love that. That's the word of God. Take no thought of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's today, my friends. It's this moment. Please listen. Suppose we were starting life all over this morning. We've often thought about, boy, if I could just do it again, but the way things are turning right now in our world, I'm not so sure that that's a valid statement. I want to go back. Okay? God is so good, isn't he? He does allow us to go back and maybe apologize to him for some things that we did that we know we shouldn't have done. That's called forgiveness. And my God's a forgiving God this morning. There are some victories in my life, but I don't think my future ought to rest on my past victories, because it's today, day by day. But you know, if you could ask the Lord Jesus this morning, and we were able to turn our lives back, if you will, and we were to ask the Lord Jesus Christ how to make the rest of our life the best of our life, what do you think he would say? Ever thought about that? What would he say? I don't think we have to wonder. I think I know exactly what he would say. It's in Matthew 6:33. There it is. Matthew 6:33, Jesus himself said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things, now we're going to leave this in context this morning. We have to be careful when we read the scriptures that we don't take things out of context, because a verse out of context is a pretext. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think you can summarize that verse, and I don't think I'm going to do any discredit to the Word of God here, but if we were to summarize that verse, Matthew 6:33, with three words, this is what I get out of it. First things first. Am I right? First things first. I want this morning just to give you a little outline. We won't take time to run around in the scriptures much, but I'll be quoting some scriptures. If you're taking notes, at least get the references down, and then you can go back and in your own quiet time with the Lord today or sometime. Actually, in studying this out, I found a four-point outline about this very thought of first things first. How are we to live our life thinking of Matthew 6:33 and applying the truths here of the Word of God? I want to tell you that if you begin today, as you leave this place, if you would determine in your heart, if you're saved, if you would determine in your heart to live according to God's plan for your life and have the best of your life for the rest of your life, you must live it, first of all, consciously. Secondly, you must live it continuously. Thirdly, you must live it constantly. And fourth, you must live it consistently. I'm going to repeat those one more time. Some of you just came in late on it. It's not my outline today. I only have a three-point outline today. They are: we must live our life consciously, continuously, constantly, and consistently. Now, I'm going to give you the first. I call that a formula, and I may develop that later. I mean, I'm going to touch on it, but nothing like I would like to be able to. For time's sake, I can't. I think it's important this morning that I give you maybe just a three-point outline for how to do exactly what that verse, Matthew 6:33, says. Number one, we need to set priorities. Priorities. Boy, did I learn a lesson on priorities. I had been in the ministry just a short time. I'm going to guess maybe 3 years in a pulpit ministry. And we had a five-year-old son. And I was just going, I was just going every minute of the day. I was out visiting, knocking on doors in the town where we were in Maine, small town. But I was trying to start Bible studies. I was asked to have a youth program, which my wife and I started, and we started meeting with the teens there before I ever had the church ministry there. They said, we don't have a pastor. We need a pastor. We understand that you marry people and you bury people. Would you work with our teenagers? I think they just wanted a babysitter. They got more than that. All right. We agreed, my wife and I, we got permission to meet in the fire station upstairs. They had a nice room. And we would meet in that fire station. I don't know how many young teenagers that we had, but we had a good number coming out every Friday night. We used to take them to Word of Life, Jack Wirtson's camp up in Scroon Lake, New York, for snow camp. And that's another story. But I was just going great guns. And I was on my way out the door one night when my five-year-old son, my oldest boy, Stephen, some of you know Stephen, My 5-year-old son came up, and I had my hand on the doorknob, had my Bible in the other hand. I had said goodbye, and Stephen grabbed me around my kneecaps. That's as high as he could reach. He grabbed me around my kneecaps, and he said, "Daddy, where are you going tonight?" Just like that, man. Tears in his eyes. I knew I'd been messed up. Why? Because my priorities were not right. Now, I believe in the pulpit. I've been behind it over 60 years. But I learned that night that I needed to get something right. It's an old, old house. I remember it. They called it the parsonage. It was all they could afford to put us in. I went upstairs in my office. I had an office at the head of the stairs. And I went in my office and I said, "God, help me." That point right there, God put on my heart the priority for my family and my ministry. By his grace, that's what I've tried to keep all these years. Number one, my priority was, first of all, him in my life, God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Secondly, it's that lady sitting here in that chair. I owed it to her. We are one flesh. And I owed it to my family, along with her. I owed it to that little boy right there. It might surprise you, but on the bottom of the list, God said it's the church. Wow. You could have blown me over with a feather. I realized that night I was so wrong. And in my office, I determined that night never to go back, but to follow those priorities. Set priorities. Everything, as far as I'm concerned, standing here this morning, everything today rises or falls on setting priorities as a Christian. I'm passionate about this because if our priorities are not in order, as I found out that night, our life will never be in order. Cry as you will. Burn the candle at both ends. Whatever you're involved in today, give it all you got. But if your priorities are not right, it will not work. You just have to realize. You don't have to think about it. I believe Jesus himself sets it straight right here to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, if you have a kingdom, you got to have a king, right? And who's our king? Jesus. And it's his kingdom, by the way. It's not mine. It's his. Jesus has already told us what our first priority should be, and that's to seek his kingdom. Now, the word seek here means to actively pursue or go after. That's what the word seek means. It means continuously. It's in the present tense. Continue to seek his kingdom. And in order to seek the kingdom, we must seek the king. Does that make sense? You must first seek the king, because you cannot have a kingdom without a king. Trust me. The word of God is so clear in this passage. The first priority of our life ought to be to seek the King of the kingdom. You know, people say, well, the Christian life is being born again. And that's only the beginning. I didn't get a lot of this from college. I got a lot of this from just pure study of the Word of God. I appreciate our education. I appreciate our the willingness of those who ascribed us to certain facets of our education. But folks, we just have to go to the book, the greatest book on the face of the earth, and let God do the teaching. You see, God doesn't have any favorites. I can't find any favorites in the Bible. What I find in the Bible are called intimates. Not favorites, intimates. And the Bible is full of them. All right? And you have to decide this morning, are you seeking the King and His kingdom? Or are you just going to go on? I don't want to use the word day by day, because that's what I just talked about, how we're to trust in Him day by day, but moment by moment. You see, James chapter 4, verse 8, don't turn there for time's sake, but James chapter 4, verse 8, this is where this intimate situation comes into play, not favorites now. God has no favorites, but He does have intimates. And James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's intimacy. That's intimacy. God has promised in His Word in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek Me and find Me. It doesn't stop there, just a comma. And ye shall seek Me and find Me when ye shall search for Me now and then. Do you get it? Wake up now. He says, and ye shall seek Me and find Me when ye shall search for Me with all thine. Really? Yeah, that's seeking first the kingdom of God, folks. That's priority. That's prioritizing my thoughts. I have a lot of hobbies, and I can get really wrapped up in some of them. But I've learned, in this matter of priorities, it's more important that I focus more time on seeking God than I do any one of those or all of them collectively. We all have hobbies. We all have things we like to do. But listen, we got to put priority to the test. It's not enough just to seek the Lord. What does that verse say? Seek ye what? First, F-I-R-S-T, first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First things first means putting the Father first, the King. Three words I want you to notice in this passage, and I didn't read the entire passage because of time's sake, and we have scripture this morning. Appreciate hearing the Word of God being preached, but I want to call your attention to just three things here in this one verse that I want you to see about putting first things first, putting the Father first. I want you to jot down, if you're taking notes, or you can circle in your Bible if you don't mind writing in your Bible, in verse 30. I see the word faith here in chapter 6, verse 30. Notice what it says. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He brings faith in, doesn't he? First word, faith. The second word I call your attention to in this passage is verse 32. want you to circle or jot down the verse in verse 32. I want you to jot down the word Father. Jesus says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father. That's the King. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I don't know about your life, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times when I'm tempted to try to work things out and not trust God. And yet my life's verses that I ascribed, she ascribed in my wedding ring was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Boy. Nobody ever said the Christian life would be easy. You see, Jesus wants first things first, every moment of every day of our lives. The third word I want you to underline is verse 33. Circle the word first. Seek ye first. So we have verse 30, we have faith, we have verse 32, we have Father, and we have verse 33, first. Could I remind you this morning quickly, Hebrews 11, 6? My Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith. And Jesus wants that relationship moment by moment, every moment of every day. He wants the first day of every week to be his from in your life. He wants it, the first part of every paycheck, it's right in the Bible, to be his. And he, the King, wants to be first in your life. Not only are we to seek the King, we ought to seek the kingdom. That word kingdom here means literally the rule or reign. Ooh. The rule, kingdom is rule or reign of my life. Now, Christ is not interested in being co-partners, co-workers. He's not even interested in brief in him being prominent in your life. Paul, I believe it was, that wrote in Colossians that he is to be preeminent. While I was at Bob Jones University, it was a new experience. That's where I got saved, by the way. I've told you that before. And we had to join they call them not sororities, as the world calls them, but they call them societies. And my society, and don't ask me why I joined it, I just, rush week came, and they're all after you to join their crowd, and I didn't know anything about what I was doing. And that's fine. I joined the Chi Alpha Pi. Guess what our society verse was? Colossians 3:18. Christ always preeminent. Here we go. I wish I could honestly stand here and say he's always had preeminence in my life. I can't. But you know what? I'm talking about living the rest of our life and having the best of our life. It's possible. Just follow this little formula this morning. Hastily, I'm going to go on. Had a couple of illustrations. I'm just going to omit those and go on to the second point, and we'll go more rapidly here. But look at this. Not only are we to have Christ preeminent in our lives and seek first in priority in our life, we're to seek personal purity. You see it? Matthew 6:33. Now let's stay here as we round the third corner here. Not only are we to seek his kingdom, but we are to seek his righteousness. Vicki and I had quite a discussion about this coming over here this morning. And I'm not going to go into all the detail. I could spend the whole afternoon on telling you what we said, and there was nothing secret about it. It's just that time's sake, I don't have time. But there are three types of righteousness. There is unrighteousness. That's a lost person. That's a person outside of Christ, never having had an experience with Christ, never been born again, never been saved. That's unrighteousness. The second righteousness is self-righteousness. That's when a person is saved, and yet they are constantly and continuously going on as if didn't matter what. That's self-righteous. Oh, I'm not as bad as you are, brother. That's self-righteousness. A good word for it would be pride. And you know what God says about pride? He hates pride. He's an abomination. And then there's a third righteous, and that's Jesus' righteousness. Got it? You have to decide. Where am I in that formula this morning? We need to seek personal purity, and it's his righteousness. As we seek God's righteousness, let me just throw this in quickly and we're going to move on. As we seek out God's righteousness in our lives, we will be seeking also God's character within us. I remember all the sayings, or many of the sayings, not all of them, but many of the sayings of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I was saved under his ministry there, and those chapel sayings became very, very dear to my heart as a new Christian, and I took them, you know, really just with great joy in my life. But the kingdom of God is not only to be inwardly experienced by a believer, which it can be, but also outwardly expressed through the life of the believer. Got it? If we have his kingdom and his righteousness within us, we're going to express it, and people are going to see it. They're going to see a difference. They should. Seeking personal purity in this verse right here. We must desire that this morning. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." A promise. There it is. Don't know what number, but there it is. We must desire it. We must derive it. That is, we are to seek his righteousness. God is not interested in my righteousness. No. It cost him his only begotten son. He's only interested in his righteousness. What a difference it made in my life. And I thank God for Bob Jones University and for the word of God as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. impressed upon me that third night of the revival that I was in my own righteousness. I was trying to get to heaven. I was told I could. False teaching, but I was told I could make it on my own. I'm so thankful the word of God. And I think we ought to depict it as well. We need to desire it. We need to derive it. And we need to depict it. We ought to be to live like kingdom subjects. Some of you would remember the name Will Rogers. Will Rogers said this one time, "We ought to live in such a way that we would not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip." And all of you older folks know what that means. had a neighbor one time and he had a parrot. I wasn't saved. But I heard that parrot say some things I couldn't even repeat. Listen, our life ought to be so transparent to the world. Let them see Jesus. Let them see his righteousness in your life. The rest of your life, you can start today. Can't do anything about yesterday, except ask God to forgive us. But oh, we need to move on and realize that day by day, we need to be trusting him. The last point I want to leave with you quickly is this. We need to see here in this verse, he promises prosperity. Ah, everybody loves that word, don't they? Prosper. How do I prosper? Prosperity. Here it is. The Lord said that if you will seek his kingdom, if you will seek his righteousness, all these things. Now, this is where we're going to leave it right in context for the next 5 minutes. Right in context here. Don't take it out. Don't let your mind go crazy here now. You got to keep it right on the book. If we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, question, what things was the Lord referring to? Well, Matthew 6:19 says we're to lay not up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Stay with me. Verse 25. What are these things? I can honestly tell you that there are four worries that people worry about most. And they're right here in this passage. Notice, we see here finances. They all begin with F now, okay? Finances. Verse 25, we're told that people worry about food. You've heard people say, well, I'm not sure where my next meal is going to come from. Ever heard that saying? Oh, yes. Food. And yet, verse 25 says, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body that ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body than raiment? Finances? Food? If we had time, I would let you all respond as to what you think number three might be. But it's fitness. It's, well, boy, am I getting 21st century or not? Huh? All these gurus, weightlifting, you know, this is all about fitness now. And he says right here in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? He's talking about fitness, young lady. Talking about four of the deepest worries in the lives of believers today. And I'm talking about Christians now. God is kind of spanking us a little bit here. I get the feeling he's spanking me. And wait till you hit the last one. The fourth worry people are worrying most about today is fashions. There it is. Read it for yourself, verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Has he not promised to meet our every need? My God shall supply all your needs. Hey, he is in the need supplying business, folks. But we got to look back at this verse or this passage, Matthew 6:33. We've got to be seeking the king and his kingdom if we're going to be the beneficiary. The Lord has promised that if you'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, you'll have all the things you need. Now I do not did not say all the things you want. We gotta watch out here, because the devil can really mess us over and get us to thinking about, well, that really is a need, but in our heart we know before God that it's more of a want. The last 4 points I want to give you quickly, I'm going to read them. I'm convinced that there are 4 lessons that we need to learn this morning before we leave this place and commit to these 4 lessons that will help us in applying Matthew 6:33. First of all, we don't need everything we want. Ever stop and think about it? I said, take this message with you today. For whatever you get out of it, I'm trying to just share my heart. And as I've replayed my life in the last few months and weeks, and I've seen the mistakes that I've made that I need to correct, I've tried by the grace of God to correct them. That's all I can say. God knows my heart this morning. But there's a lot of things that I think I need, and they all of a sudden they look like wants, and I can say, Lord, I want that. I've often said this to the inmates. If God gave me everything that I wanted, man, would I be in a mess. I think that's universal. Second lesson I want us to take with us is we don't want everything. You don't want everything you need. We've got to separate these two, and it would take me another half hour, 45 minutes to do it, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just simply saying I never wanted one whipping in my life. You know what a whooping is, young lady? I think they call it child abuse today. In my day, it was a spanking. And my mama has broken many a yardstick over me. I remember I had mumps one time, 1952. I really got under her skin. I was in the house 1 week looking like a chipmunk that was getting ready for winter. My jowls hung down here two inches anyway. And I did something. I don't remember what it was. God help me forget that. She chased me around the dining room table about 6 laps. Finally, she caught up with me, but she broke the yardstick. And I laughed. Guess what? I got another whooping. I'll never forget that day. It was in February. The third lesson is God doesn't give us everything we want. And I've touched on that one. But here's the fourth one and final one. We'll close. God always, always, always gives us exactly what we need. That's the kind of God I serve. Provided I am following the first part of this verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things we've talked about this morning will be added unto you. Here I heard about 2 stores that were in business, one across the street from the other, and they were kind of competitive. They were in competition with each other in their sales. And one day the manager of the one store came out one day and he nailed a great big sign over the front of the store. And it says, if you want it, we have it. Well, the store owner across the street, he looked over and he saw that sign. If you want it, we have it. He went back into the back room of his store and he wrote this big sign up. He wasn't going to be outdone now. So he took his liberty and he made a great big sign. And he says, his sign says, if we don't have it, you don't need it. I like that because I can tell you something right now. No matter what you may be thinking, if you don't have it, God knows all about it. And he knows at this point in your life, you don't need it. Would you seek him today? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God help us today. May we learn from his word today. It's day by day. day by day, moment by moment. We should be desirous of Matthew 6:33. Father, we thank you today for your love. Thank you for your word this morning for these dear people. Lord, I pray that we might faithfully apply the truths of your word. Thank you for this verse, Lord. It's so familiar, yet what I felt that it just needed to be developed today to give these dear people that are hungering and thirsting for your will to be done here at this little church. Lord, I thank you for your presence with us as we've claimed that and as we've sung it, the praises to you. And Lord, as your word has gone forth, may your Holy Spirit just speak to each heart's need today. Grant us, I pray, Father, truth, that, Lord, we may honor and glorify you in the days to come and have the best day of our lives as we start today and live it to the fullest with you. Thank you for what you're going to do now in Jesus.